وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن دعا بدعوته واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين، سلم تسليمًا كثيرًا. أما بعد، فأوصيكم ونفسي بالتقوى الله عز وجل والسمع والطاعة، ويقول الحق سبحانه: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم، إن زلزلة الساعة شيء عظيم. All praises are due to Allah, Lord of the worlds. And surely the best reward is for those who have taqwa. And surely there is no animosity except for the oppressor. And I bear witness that Allah is one and has no partners, and that Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, is his last messenger, his servant. May Allah constantly, always send peace and blessings to Muhammad, to his family, to his companions, and all those who call to his way and implement his sunnah to the day of judgment. As to what follows, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to us in his mighty book, O you who believe, fear your Lord, for surely the quaking of the hour will be a terrible thing. O you who believe, as we approach the month of Dhul-Hijjah, ending the month of Dhul-Qa'dah, we recognize that we are living in traumatic times, changing times, eventful times. And it is critical for us, personally, with our families, with our communities, to strengthen our connection with the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Because ultimately, the bottom line rests with Allah Azza wa Jal. And we will not be struck by anything that Allah had not willed. And our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, was blessed with Jami'il Kalim. He was blessed with a type of speech that with a few words encompassed a great meaning. These words not only were relevant in his time, but will continue to be explaining things to the believers to the day of judgment. Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, in speaking about our ummah, our nation, and we have reached now close to 1 billion people. But the Prophet ﷺ said, an authentic hadith was reported in Abu Dawood and Ibn Majah and Imam Ahmed, Ummati hadhihi ummatun marhuma. Laysa alayha adhabun fil akhirah. Adhabuha fid dunya. Al fitan was the lazar wal qatal. The Prophet ﷺ said, this ummah, my nation, is a nation that has mercy on it. Its punishment, it's not in the next life, but the punishment is in this world. Fitan, zalazal, qatal. Fitan is the plural of fitna, trials, tribulations, confusion. And the world we are living in today, with social media gone out of control, is a world of temptations and confusions, misunderstandings. It's a fitna. And sadaqa Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, it has never been seen on such an international level as today. And then the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, we would be struck with earthquakes. An earthquake we can take literally and reflect upon what we have just experienced in Turkey. Or we can take it in a general sense of natural catastrophes. And so these events would come upon us. And finally, he said, qatl, and that is murder. And organized murder, slaughter is genocide. And so we have to recognize that the Prophet ﷺ did not speak from himself. And we are going through what we could call a tamhis, a purification. I believe that we are being purified for something. Our numbers have gotten to the highest level ever. Our strategic positions have become more important than ever. The mineral resources lying under our countries have become more vital for society than ever before. But yet we are not feeling the benefit from it. As a matter of fact, with all the great potential, our nation is in crisis. It's a purification. A recent study looked at the most severely affected areas in the world in terms of crisis. And a crisis could be natural disasters, it could be famine, it could be war. And they listed some of these countries and they said the top eight was number one, the Horn of Africa. Two, the Sahel region, which is the savanna region going across Africa, the Sahara. Three, the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Four, Afghanistan. Five, Yemen. Six, Pakistan. Seven, Ukraine. And eight, Syria. And you can see of the eight listed crises, six of them are Muslim countries. And this is not somebody who has a bias. This is somebody who's looking at the issues facing humanity today. And so something is coming upon us. Historically, it has happened before to our nation. We have been pushed into the corner. We have been pushed to the point where there's nothing left but Meta Nasrullah. When is the help of Allah? Even the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, ajma'in, said that. They reached the point where they just raised their hands. Where is Allah's help? And so we are reaching that critical mass that brings about a serious change. The issue, the third issue from amongst the three, fitan, zalazal, qatl. The last was murder or genocide. And that is the area that we have to keep our eyes focused on. It is a great test to all of us when it happens to somebody within our nation. And today we want to lift up our voice with over 100 imams all over Canada to recognize the presence of genocide in our nation, not Muslims inflicting it upon other people, but genocide coming upon our innocence. And especially we wanted to look at the case of India. Because India, with over 220 million Muslims incorporated within the subcontinent, is usually not mentioned when the word genocide is thought of. But yet what is happening there today requires us, along with remembering all our other areas, to take a little focus upon this, because what is happening is horrendous. And it's hard for us to imagine something like this as we sit in a relative state of calm and peace here in Canada. It is hard for us to imagine this when we hear the international media talking about other places. But the reality on the ground for us would be like flying to another planet. And when you hit down, you are in a state of confusion. And it is reported, you need to think about the concept of genocide itself. What does it actually mean? And the experts who have studied genocide, which is organized slaughter, they looked at 10 stages of genocide. And you think about these stages and what is happening. Number one, classification. People within a country had to be classified as the other, as the enemies. That's the first way they start the genocide. Two, symbolization. So the symbols of the people in our case, the symbols, our masjids, minarets, the hijab being worn by Muslim women, that has to be demonized, or it has to be negated as though it doesn't exist. Three, discrimination, exclusion from civil rights. So the body that genocide is going to hit, they are excluded from their civil rights. Four, dehumanization, equating them with insects and animals. Five, organization, special militias sent out against the targeted people. Six, polarization, hate speech, propaganda. Seven, preparation. The victims are identified and mass killings are planned. Number eight, persecution, forced displacement, shelters, concentration camps. Number nine, extermination. Now the actual extermination takes place. And 10, and this is part of genocide, denial, where they deny the fact that the genocide actually took place. And so we see the situation right in front of our eyes. Those who are living, Muslims living in India, are subject to daily attacks. People's homes, shops, the masjids. Daily attack, as though we are here in peace. Imagine a mob coming at our masjid. Muslims are now considered in India as foreigners. They're outsiders. They're not actually Indians. Although India has always been a melting pot of so many different nations and religions over the centuries. Daily lynch mobs, remember the genocide, the organized militias, lynch mobs being sent out of Hindu extremists. And it's hard to even think. We here have our halal shops, all different types of halal. In one state alone, 50,000 halal meat shops were closed. And their crime was eating beef, a crime punishable by death. 1.9 million Muslims in Assam are now stateless. Officially, their citizenship taken away, stateless. Masjids under attack. Qurans being burnt. This is a daily reality. And the Prophet ﷺ said, and this is speaking not just to his companions. He's talking to us. Man ra'a minkum munkaran falyughayyirhu biyadi. If you see evil, change it with your hands. Fa'illam yastatir fa'bilisani. If you cannot do that, then say something. فَإِلَّمْ يَسْتَطِيَ فَبِقَلْبِي وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. And if he can't even do that, then at least feel it inside yourself. Not just saying the word, but feel it. But that is the weakest form of faith. So we can't sit still. We have to make dua for our people on the ground everywhere these organized genocides are taking place. We need to donate. We need to give of ourselves, especially to groups in advocacy. It is now not the time not just to give to relief organizations, that is important, but those who advocate, because these genocides in most cases are stopped when an organized power stands in the way of the genocide. So those groups who are advocating, donate to it. Because they are doing right here in Canada what we could call Fard Kifaya. And Fard Kifaya means it is an obligatory action that the community has to do. And if somebody stands up and does it, it can shield the rest of the community. Otherwise, we are living in sin. And so support those who advocate. Educate ourselves. Educate our children. Educate our communities as to what is actually happening. Many of our children are lost in space, lost in false constructs, when the reality on the ground is very much different. And one of the websites we can confirm is www.saveindia.ca. Go to that website. Educate yourself. Educate your family, your community, as to what is happening right in front of us. Because as they say, when it happens to somebody else and you don't do it, you can be next. So when they come to your house, when they come to our masjid, then we cry out. We need to be proactive. And there is hope. There is hope on the ground. Seminars, social media, use it in a positive way. There are those amongst us who are skilled with social media. Use it in a positive way to remind people of what is happening to the Muslim world. And here in Canada, we have the right to pressurize government officials. We can send letters. We can visit MPs. We can go directly to the Prime Minister to remind them of what is happening, and our right as Canadians to demand that our country should not do business with extremists, not do business with people who are committing genocide right in front of our eyes. And our country, if it really does stand for freedom, justice, equality, it should be banning all extremist groups. So any of these extremist groups that show their heads right here, they should be banned by the society. And if we don't stand up and demonstrate and contact and do something, nobody's gonna listen. It'll be wiped out. It'll be pushed to the side. This is a test that we are under. This is a test that we are seeing our people going through. But in many cases, those people who were under the gun turned out to be the strongest at the end. Those who thought they were safe get confused when the fire touches them. And so this is a reminder from the mimbars all over this country today. It's a reminder about the situation in India, and it's also a reminder of the situations happening throughout the Muslim world, that we should not forget this, that we need to make this part of our identity. What is it to be a Muslim? Is it only to fast? Is it only to pray? No, being Muslim means that you see evil and you do something. You don't sit still. Taqwa is made up al-khawf wa-raja. It is the fear of Allah. It is the hope in Allah. It's a stimulant. Taqwa should stimulate us to be aware of what is happening right around us and to be constantly vigilant as to what is happening in the world, because we are an ummah, and an ummah is a nation just like your body. And as the Prophet ﷺ said, if part of the body is in pain and suffering, then the body reacts to that, and fever comes, and different actions go inside your blood. We are one nation, and we need to react to what is happening to Muslims wherever it is in this planet. I leave you with these thoughts. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب استغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم.